It's great to be with you today. I know these are really unusual times, but we have the opportunity to grow in Christ together through some really strange experiences. I hope while you're meeting with your family or maybe a small group of friends that these messages of the next few weeks can really be an uplift to you. So thank you for listening in. Thank you for taking the time to do this. And thank you for being you, your generous selves, who continue to care for those that are in need. I'd like to read from John chapter 16, verses 5 through 7, and then verse 33 today. The words of Jesus. It says, "Now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be together. Even though we're not in the facility together today, we're together all over this community at different times, listening together, praying together, worshiping together. And I just ask that you would bring peace and strength and health and hope to us during these days. And I pray that you would teach us and guide us as we grow in new competencies, as gifts emerge that maybe we're laying dormant. Holy Spirit, come and help us, we pray. Grow us in you today as we gather. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a minute. Just think about this. Do you remember what happened in 2004 over Christmas break? For most of us, it was just another December, and specifically December 26th. But in Asia, it was absolutely dreadful. And without warning, a tsunami swept over an entire region. And at the end of the day, about 250,000 people were killed. And at the same time, it was remarkable, dreadful and remarkable. The largest outpouring of generosity and compassionate action in recent history occurred. Like other dreadful events, attention developed. The disaster was held in tension with generosity and compassion. A sense of comradeship developed as nations, agencies, and individuals banded together to provide relief. At least for a period, it changed the way we as a human community acted. Less selfish, more loving. Less consumer, more generosity. And this morning's text is situated at the center of Jesus' farewell discourse. In it, he is preparing the 12 for his imminent departure. He's trying to make sure that they understand that he is leaving and that they will be carrying his ministry forward. The Lord is so gracious about preparing his people for times of transition. This week, I reviewed the Sunday morning sermons from the beginning of the year. And honestly, I was astounded to realize that the Holy Spirit is preparing us for this time. Here are just the sermon titles from January 19th through last Sunday. Catch this: Tough Times, an invitation to tune our lives to Christ. With Christ as King, life is different. Looking at life through Christ-colored lenses. Are you a spectator or a participant? Revitalizing imagination. Live ready at all times. And last Sunday's message, Jesus' method, focusing on the few. We've covered topics that were meant to prepare us for a season we are now in. It's time to tune our lives to Christ, to demonstrate Christ's life during trials, and to allow our faith to color the way we look at the current situation. There is no room for Christian spectators. We are all participants now. Our imaginations have to expand to care, love, and grow together, and we are forced to live ready. For the near future, we're going small, focusing on the few. I mean, God is so good to us. He's been preparing us for this moment, and now he's giving us the opportunity to put into practice what we've learned over the last several weeks. Today, I want us to look together at how Christ prepared the 12 for his departure and learn some of adversity's important kingdom outcomes. Christ prepared the 12 by placing them in a transitional process. When Jesus started telling the disciples that he was leaving, they were understandably disturbed. They were noticeably shaken. 2+ years with the master, and now he's talking about leaving. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Where are they to go? Who are they to follow? What would their future look like? And Jesus said this: they were all filled with grief. Now, the technical term for these seasons of transition is liminality. And on your note sheet, you'll notice the definition of liminality. Liminality is the transition process accompanying a fundamental change of state or social position. It's a time when participants are were cast out of our normal structures of life. It creates disorientation. It humbles those who go through it. In preparing his disciples for his departure, Jesus thrust them into this season of liminality, a season of transition that will shape them for what lies ahead, that will shape them for his purposes and his plan. The transitional process elicits normal emotional responses. Again, normal emotional responses. The disciples were upset, maybe even disappointed. The discussion of his departure was emotionally stressful. At any time of difficulty, we have strong emotions. It's a normal thing. Most of the initial emotions are distressing, and honestly, that's okay. One of my fears during times like these is that Christians, especially of our Pentecostal and charismatic stripe, will attempt to suppress the reality of their distressing emotions through denial, or worse, through some sort of weird, misguided, charismatic triumphalism. If you have concern, admit it. If you're distressed, embrace it. Talk to somebody about it. It's natural. Notice that Jesus didn't condemn the 12 for their grief. He understood that distress would be their natural response. There's no denying it. And none of the 12 stood in hyper-spiritual condemnation of another. They were all in the same situation. He was leaving. They needed to work together. So they were in this situation trying to figure out how to get their bearings. And Jesus eventually brings the whole thing around to peace. He was giving them seemingly unwelcome news of his departure to give them peace. I've told you these things that you might have peace in me. A question comes up. Did his words create distress? Of course they did. But he knew that addressing it now would eventually lead them to peace. The initial distress would give way to peace as they began to trust. It takes time to come to terms with difficult situations. You can't just wish them away. You can't confess them away. As we walk with God, the Spirit calms and assures us. Day after day, moment by moment, the Spirit is the one who brings the peace of God. Because we trust in Him, peace develops over time within the process of adversity. The unsettling nature of transitional processes is beneficial. It's beneficial. The 12 were grieved because Jesus announced his departure. Did you notice what he said next? It's for your good that I am leaving. Can you imagine how distressing that phrase was to them? You're leaving. How is that good for us? And of course, Jesus' departure, we know, would bring the Holy Spirit's indwelling and empowering presence. They were going to get a major upgrade because Jesus was no longer going to dwell among them. Instead, his Spirit would dwell within them. And as unsettling as the adversity would be, it would prove to be beneficial beyond their present comprehension. No longer a single individual dwelling with them, but now the Spirit dwelling in the entire church. Christ was working a plan that they couldn't see. The members of the Trinity were moving toward their goal of decentralizing the dwelling place of God. It's no longer in the temple. The life of Christ would be in every disciple, and that they would organically spread redemption over the face of the globe, taking the presence of God everywhere they went. Their adversity, their temporary distress, their liminality was accomplishing God's good plan. Distress would turn to strength as the Spirit descended and as they moved out. The transitional moment we find ourselves in, our liminality, is going to produce distress. It's normal. We're irritated, we're angry, we're depressed, we're frustrated, we don't know what the future holds, and we need to demonstrate wise and caring compassion toward each other. We need to support and pray for each other. We don't need oversimplified, soundbite spiritual solutions. We need genuine care, honest listening, and true love for each other. Walking together with Jesus is going to bring peace. This current adversity is going to benefit us in ways we cannot at present fully imagine. God instructs us in these times, and we need to begin to embrace it. Now, that transitional process, that liminality, serves actually to produce community. When we're subjected to the processes that fundamentally change our normal state, it often draws us closer to each other. The transitional processes Jesus placed the disciples in helped shape the community that they would eventually become. We have to use our imaginations. We talked about this just a few weeks ago. We're going to have to use our imaginations to fully understand this. I mean, how many private conversations do you think happened among the 12 after Jesus laid this announcement on them? I mean, I envision Peter and James and John going to a village market to get some supplies. I mean, they're not going to be silent about this. Well, they're on their way. They must have talked about it. I mean, what does this mean? What preparations are we supposed to make? How can we survive this? What do you think he meant by this? How can we band together? Is he serious? Come on, there's no way he can be serious about this. And so the conversation went on and on and on about what all this meant, to the point where these guys even began to talk to Jesus about gaining position in the kingdom. They were so concerned about what was going on. They wanted to know who would be first in this kingdom in the middle of this departure process. It's interesting, though, that the overarching concern that happens in these times of liminality is that they drive us to find each other. Transitional processes drive us to find each other. Think for a minute about some of your favorite adventure movies. Every adventure movie you've ever watched contains adversity that causes a small group of friends to emerge and grow close together. Some of my favorites, I mean, Frodo had his Fellowship of the Ring. Skywalker had Han, Leia, Chewie, and the droids. Easy Company became a band of brothers over time going through World War II. When you think of yours, each example, you will see a group going through a common ordeal that helps them to find each other and honestly to find themselves in ways they couldn't have without the adversity. This common ordeal is forcing us into the small family tribal groups that we talked about last Sunday. Our adversity is helping us to find each other. And as it progresses over the next several weeks, our sense of social togetherness and belonging is going to grow because we're more reliant on each other. And I know it sounds really strange at this moment. How can we find each other while remaining physically distant? That's where our imaginations come in. The Spirit is going to provide us with imaginative ways to advance His kingdom and grow together, even in this time of physical distancing. When He inspires you, implement that vision. When He speaks to you, gives you scriptures, implement that vision. When He brings friends to mind, communicate with them, encourage them. It might just be the Holy Spirit impressing on you the need to reach out to them with a text, an email, a Facebook message, maybe a video conversation on whatever platform you use. We live in an amazing era when technological nearness can counteract our physical distance. I can't imagine this happening 25 or 30 years ago. It would have been so difficult for us to meet together. Even you listening to this sermon, we would have had to send out hundreds of audio cassettes for you to be able to listen to this. Now you can listen to it in the comfort of your home on a computer or a phone. Listen, we can use this to our advantage. And when the Spirit of God gives you a prompting, go ahead and reach out. Do what you do best. Be generous, be loving, be kind. Remember, how did Jesus reach the masses? He focused on the few. That was his strategy for growing his movement. And now that we can't depend on our regular institutional services that we've grown so accustomed to and that we love so much, we have to rely on each other for encouragement, care, and support, and we have to focus on the few so that we can continue to grow. The kingdom of God always moves forward. It never moves backward. It never stalls out, even in times of adversity. In fact, in times of adversity, it actually tends to grow more. Remember that we talked about the Chinese church last Sunday. When they lost all of their Western institutional model, what happened? They grew exponentially. Right now, for a brief time, we're in that situation. We can grow together, just like the Chinese church did when they lost the things that we can't have for the next several weeks. So transitional processes drive us to find each other. They also catalyze growth. Transitional processes catalyze growth. I mean, what happened when Jesus ascended to heaven? When his earlier warnings were finally realized, the disciples stood with their mouths open, gazing into heaven. They had to be urged off the hillside by angelic messengers. They were still in process. They were still misgivings and distressing emotions. It took them 7 weeks to move from the ascension to the day of Pentecost, but growth was progressing. New competencies were being formed within them. New gifts and skills were emerging. I even think of this after the day of Pentecost. You get down to Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 6, and you begin to see that they were hunkered down in Jerusalem. They weren't going anywhere, even though God had commanded them to move out toward the ends of the earth. And what did it take? It took another time of liminality. It took adversity. Stephen, one of their greatest lay leaders, was stoned to death because of his testimony and the miracles he was doing. That's what it took to move them out to do what God had originally called them to do. Competencies grew, gifts grew, mission became important as they were forced by physical and political implications to move from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the world. And when they could no longer rely on Jesus' physical presence and ministry, what happened to the 12? They grew in competency. It was their ministry now, not just his. The time we find ourselves in is very similar. We can't just get in the car and gather at a church. We have to discover new, and I'll just honestly say, actually old biblical ways of being the church. It's uncomfortable. It's outside of our way of doing things, but even though it's distressing, it's going to increase our ability to serve Christ and be on mission with him. It's going to increase our competencies. This time is going to allow gifts to emerge that we were unaware of, or maybe that we allowed to lay dormant for far too long. Our priorities are going to change. Our perspective is already changing, and we're beginning to see the transformation in its embryonic form happening inside of us. We will grow in ways that we could never have imagined 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. And I love this. It's already happening. Daily, I scroll through my social media feed once or twice, and I'm energized by reading your offers for help. I mean, people in this family of believers are willing to run errands for those most in need. Others are dreaming of new ways to meet and worship. Some are envisioning and acting on their caring impulse to make sure no one feels alone. Please notice, these actions aren't happening because we developed a new program. These actions aren't happening because Dave urged it or the leadership team urged it. Nobody with an ordination certificate is forcing this to happen. The leaders aren't rolling out this for any of us to perform. We are hearing the voice of the Spirit. We are taking initiative and responsibility. It is an organic movement to be the church in trying times. And we are a part of that organic movement. It is happening right now. And as you continue to hear and as you continue to feel it inside of you, as the Spirit continues to talk, keep doing what you do best. This is how the Lord intended his church to function. And you are organically doing what the Holy Spirit is instructing you to do. These are exciting times for the transformation of the church. Listen, the Spirit who has been faithful to prepare us for this situation is going to use it to strengthen God's redemptive purposes. And as we adapt, we are growing. As we walk with Christ, he's bringing us to peace. God is going to reveal new possibilities, new passions, new abilities that will strengthen his church. He's going to give us new insight into what the church can become, how it can advance going forward. Keep listening to the Spirit's promptings and demonstrating his love. Over the next several weeks, we're going to take a little bit deeper dive into what it means to be on sabbatical. We are forced into the sabbatical presence of God right now, and he is going to teach us how important this time is, and there's going to be some truths that I'll share for the next several weeks with you that will help you make the most of this sabbatical time that God is giving us. And listen, I so appreciate your support. I appreciate your generous spirits and how you continue to be supportive of the church, but also of our missionaries, of the poor. I mean, people are working hard at Maranatha Messengers. Many of you are running errands for each other, reaching out with phone calls and text messages to those that we know are shut-ins who can't be out or who shouldn't be out. Thank you for everything you're doing. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be the body of Christ at this time. I think of what you said in the Old Testament to Esther, for such a time as this. You raised her up for that specific time. You're raising us up for this time. Use us, fill us, help us to listen to your Spirit during these trying times. Encourage us, and Lord, we will obey you. When you say to do something, when you say to reach out and be compassionate, we're going to hear your voice, and we're going to apply it. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your inspiration. Change us, shape us, and during this difficult time, make us the church that you want us to be. Help us to see the possibilities that we couldn't see 2 and 3 weeks ago. Lord, you are up to something, and we want to be a part of it. Stir us and move us in these times, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.